Happy New Year, church. And I'm so happy I could pop because my sister over there was given a testimony about God is doing a new thing. When someone is actually speaking what heaven is speaking, your spirit leaps like Elizabeth and Mary, who carried the same thing in their wombs. God is doing something new. And he'll do something new in your life, something new and glorious in 2020, if you only believe. And I read that passage, and it's a passage about Peter being locked up. And when he got out, they were so excited because they couldn't believe it. God will do something in your life this year that you couldn't believe could happen. Something exceedingly abundantly, whatever you could, the best prayer you could ever pray, you'll exceed it. Because they couldn't believe. Peter was in prison, 16 guards around him. Chains. God brought him out. God's going to bring you out this year. Whatever is not of him, he's going to bring you out. Father, I thank you, Lord. You got a word for us today. You got a living Rhema word for us, Lord, that is from heaven, that you've sent to change things, that you've sent to, oh, Lord, bring peace where there's a storm. Bring hope where there's despair. Bring life where there is death. Bring healing where there is sickness. Because, Lord, your word is life. Lord, when you speak it, it brings order and life out of darkness and chaos. And so, Father, Lord, I ask for the anointing today to be on your servant, that this may be a word preached in the power. And the dead may be raised, Lord. The sick may be healed. Oh, Lord, do it for your glory, Lord. For your glory. Nobody leave here changed today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I picked this passage about Peter because Peter is, Jesus said, Peter, people have been moving forward. That's not allowed. It's my church. I like your top over there, Jenya. We're all in green today. My wife looked at me and she said, what are you doing? You're English, I'm Irish, I can do what I like. back to the text. Jesus said to Peter, upon the church, you're the church. I'm going to build my church upon you. And some people, they have a belief, they have a theology or a teaching. I call it, it's hyper-sovereignty of God teaching. And it's error. It's a false doctrine. That if you've received something from God, it's going to happen and you don't have to do anything about it. Ultimately, that may be true, but I want to tell you, when you become a Christian, you come into the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful thing. You're saved. You're heaven bound. But at the very moment, you acquire an enemy who is committed to your destruction. And in this passage, Peter, who's been called and set apart by Jesus, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to do miracles for you. He's in prison. His buddy James has just died. Herod's killed him. And there are 16 soldiers around Peter, guards in chains. And Herod sees how much it pleased the Jews. And the Bible says he was just about to kill Peter. And in the natural, this one who Jesus called, who Jesus said I was going to use, in the natural, there was absolutely no hope for his life. You know, in the scriptures, where you see a therefore and a but, you got to take notice because the next verse is very, very important. And I want to tell you, this passage said, in the midst of Peter's hopelessness, in the midst of Peter's the odds against him, and Herod is the problem isn't really Herod, the problem is Satan. Satan is committed to Peter's destruction because he knows who he is in Christ. He knows his destiny because Satan knows your calling. And he's trying to destroy him using Herod. And there's no worldly hope. But the church was in constant, Peter was in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God, to him, by the church. I want to tell you, the most powerful organization, institution, thing in all of creation is a praying church. Let me tell you, works, when the Bible talks about works, works refers to things you do so God will save you apart from the blood of Christ. That's works. But prayer is never works. All through the scriptures, we're told to fear not and seek God. And every single, I say this, I don't say this with any joy, but nearly every single person who said that to me, you know, time points things, verifies things, time brings out reality, are either splitting up in their marriages, their kids are on drugs. I mean, terrible, terrible, awful things are happening, because I want to tell you here, if you hear nothing today, hear this. The only thing that Satan's got to do to defeat you is to steal your prayer life. That's all he's got to do. The rest comes later. The rest comes as a result of no prayer. But you got to understand, the most powerful weapon you have, the most powerful weapon in all of the cosmos, is a praying church. When God looks at problems on the earth, when God looks at bushfire, when God looks at wars, all these things, he doesn't look at that. His eyes are on the church. He looks at the church. He looks at the praying church, because God can do anything. And prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Therefore, prayer can do anything. So these people, they understood when there was no hope, when he was chained, lying between two soldiers, 14 more around him and on the doors, that they had a weapon, they had a tool, and it was called constant prayer. I want to tell you, if you only understood the power of constant prayer, you wouldn't miss January. The most exciting time of year for me is the start of the year when we pray and fast. You know why? Because I know what comes out. I've been doing this long enough. I know what's coming down the track. You sow in the Spirit so you can reap something in July and in February and later in the year. You sow in January so that something down the track can be reaped spiritually. And you're positioning yourself for great victory. So I want to tell you, you come to these sessions of prayer and fasting, even if you've got to get out of your bed early. Do not rob yourself, do not rob your family of victory in 2020. So they're praying, and they're praying, and there's no hope. But our battle's not against flesh and blood, it's against principalities, power. And I just love this. The Bible says, as they were praying, an angel comes into the cell. And it says, as the angels came into the cell, and other things happened. Peter, because Peter had grown by this stage. He's in what we call a spiritual storm. When Satan's trying to destroy you or do something against your family or against your marriage, you're in a spiritual storm. Years before, he'd been in a storm, and Jesus had been asleep at the boat. And Peter panicked, and Peter spoke words of the flesh, not the spirit, and he accused Jesus of not caring. And Jesus, who was a man of prayer, was asleep. Jesus was able to say in the storm, "It's all right, my Father's got this." And now Peter's grown to the place where in his storm, he's also asleep, able to say, "It's all right, my Father's got this." Because if you're a person of prayer and you press in, you're a person of constant prayer, no matter what happens, no matter what you go through, no matter what's happening in your life, there's a time in prayer where you break through, you know God's heard, you know God has answered, even before it's manifested, and you can sleep because you know God's got it. That's why you've got to be in the prayer meeting. That's why so many people have got anxiety, because they haven't understood how to receive the peace which transcends understanding. And it comes like this. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor." How do you come to him today? He's in heaven. You come to him in prayer. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And what's the next bit? I'll give you rest for your soul. That rest, the peace which transcends understanding, in the storm comes to a praying person. So Peter, even though he's got no hope, even though he's about to be destroyed, is sleeping because he knows how to receive the rest of God through prayer. Do you? Do you? Or do you lay awake all night? Get on the phone when things go wrong? God wants you to enter into his rest and be able to enter into his rest, and you will if you pray. He's praying, he's asleep, and all of a sudden an angel comes, and an angel comes as a result of a praying church, and the chains just fall off. If you pray, addictions just fall off. If you pray, anxiety, fear just falls off. If you pray, things happen. If you're a person of constant prayer, I'm not talking bedtime prayers. I'm not talking dinner time prayers. I'm talking someone who seeks the face of God seriously. And there's a person who understands God hears your prayer. Persistently, as you walk with God, fall off your life. You'll say, I used to be fearful. I'm not anymore. I used to be depressed. I'm not anymore. I used to be angry. I'm not anymore. Because it's fallen off. And it falls off through the power of prayer. Angels are so vital to a kingdom of God person. God doesn't want you to have a history book, and he doesn't want you to have a theory. He wants you to have encounters with angels today. And when we pray, when God sees we're serious, we're willing to make the sacrifice, we're going to afflict ourselves and fast, angels will visit your life and begin to move things and shift things and do miracles before you, release the power of God in your situations, move mountains out of the way. You'll be astounded what is happening. But Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and he prayed, and his disciples slept and they slept. An angel came and visited Jesus, and he bypassed the disciples completely because they weren't people of prayer. You're going to pray, and you're going to know how to receive rest. You're going to see stuff drop off your life all through the year as a result of prayer. You're going to get deliverance. You didn't know. Angels are going to visit you. And as these angels are visiting, I just love this. There's a great big gate, a great big gate weighing tons in front of them. The one that seals the prison, that one is the full security job. And as the church prays, constant prayer, and I'm not talking bedtime, I'm talking fervent, boiling over, believing, faith-filled prayers that we have a God who delivers us. As he prays and Peter walks, the immovable gate opens. God says to somebody here, this year I'm going to open the double doors to you. Yes, you're right. The double doors are going to be open to somebody. God's going to make a way where there is no way. Why? Because you're part of a praying people. And the thing just opened. Red seas just part. But they part through the power of prayer. It happens through a praying church. You know, we've had prayer meetings 6 a.m. We have prayer meetings Wednesday at 7 till 9 every week. We pray often through the night on a Friday. We pray for a couple of hours on Sunday morning. We pray, I think, as a church, a minimum of 5-6 hours a week corporately, and many more individually. I want to tell you, there are people in this church who sacrifice and pray so that chains may break off your marriage, so that angels may visit your home. And they know the reality of it. God is still visiting people today. That doors may open, job opportunities may open for you, things may part for you, that physically it's impossible. There's no other way, but it comes through a praying church, comes through a praying people. You know, why are we praying now? We're talking about Peter. You know some of your problems. They're not personal problems. Some of the things in your family, And the children, they're not personal issues. You think they're personal, but they're not, they're spiritual. And I want to tell you, Peter was put in prison by Herod. And Herod was the third Herod. It wasn't personal. It was spiritual. You know, some people hate you. Some people want to affect you. Some people want to destroy you. And it's got nothing to do with your personality. It's a spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you and the Antichrist spirit's in them. And they just want to destroy you. And your battle has got to be fought with spiritual weapons. And Herod is, he's Herod the third. I want to just show you something. Herod the first, as soon as Christ was destroyed, was birthed, as soon as he was born, Herod tried to kill Christ, and he killed all the newborn babies. It was genocide in Jerusalem, and it really happened. He was demonically impressed. And then he had a son. And the word of God was coming through John the Baptist. And that Antichrist spirit manifested his son and wanted to just, because the Antichrist spirit wants to remove the prophetic voice from the nation. And it cut off John's head. Herod the second did that. And then this third Herod comes to Peter, who is the one who Christ is going to build the church on. And that same prince which is in him, principalities and powers that's in him, says that this time we're going to get him. This is the power of a praying church. This is why constant prayer is important. You pray, sometimes you don't get victory. You pray, you don't get victory. You keep praying. But there comes a time where God destroys that which is trying to destroy you, where God turns the table on everything. Took a lot of generations, but this day, as he stood and took the glory, the honor, God struck him. And you know what happened to that day? The church exploded. Because the prince and the principality that was opposing them was finally destroyed. But it came through a praying church. So through a praying church, Peter received peace in his storm. Chains fell off him. Doors opened. Angels visited. Principalities were destroyed that were opposing the church. And all that was happening in the natural was a group of people on their knees. It is the most powerful weapon you have. Now, let me tell you why we've got to pray now. I know what's happening in our nation is very, very significant. The season is changing. God is doing something new. Now, I don't claim to understand everything. I don't claim to see around corners. Only God does. But I know, we had a word in this church a little while ago, that we've come to what God calls the set time or the appointed time. See, when you get a word, and I've had a word about a great move of God in Australia, that God's going to shake Australia, that God is going to pour out his spirit on Australia, that God's going to use Australia to change the world, that Australia has a great south of the Holy Spirit, has a destiny in God which is significant. When you hear that word, you get that word. Joseph received his word in a dream. Then he went into a pit. Then he went into a prison, because the word always tests you. And the Bible says the word tests. But there comes a time when you endure, God actually performs his word. It's called the set time or the appointed time for the word. Now, Daniel understood some things about God. And he, it says it in Daniel chapter 9, that Daniel was reading the books, reading the word, reading the scrolls of God, and he came across Jeremiah's prophecy. And it said 70 years of captivity, and then after that, God's going to bring deliverance. And they're still in captivity. So it says that in Daniel chapter 9, he understood by the books the number of the years specified the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years of the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel knows it's appointment time, it's set time, it's God's going to move time, things are changed, new season time, God's about to change everything. And that's what I'm telling you. In our nation now, God is about to change things in our nation. God's about to change things in your ministry. I know God's about to change things. Some people have carried words over their marriage, over their children. I'm telling you, there comes a set time where God will perform that word. Now, Daniel understood the set time was upon him, and I believe the set time for our nation is upon him. God is speaking through these fires. I know they're terrible, but you've got to be spiritual. God is in control of everything. And it doesn't mean it doesn't matter if you lose material stuff, but people are going to get saved through it. People are even saying, I was looking into the gates of hell. I saw a devil in these fires. God is speaking through these fires. And he's got a good purpose because he works the good of everything for his children. He's speaking. Now, when we understand God's going to do something in our nation at a set time, what did Daniel do? It says, I understood 70 years up. Then I set my face towards the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. See, when he understood 70 years up, what do? God's about to move. I need to pray and fast. You know why you need to pray and fast? Because there's a time in Israel's history where Joseph prophesied. He said, you're going to be in captivity for 400 years. But you know they were in captivity for 430 years. You know why? No one prayed in those 30 years. Until they cried out to God, God didn't move. So their destiny was not negated, but it was delayed through lack of prayer. So when you know God's about to move, the thing to do is to pray and to fast. And we see through a dark glass dimly. We have a certain understanding and God's about to move. But this is why we pray and fast. When he prayed and fast, an angel came to visit him in verse 22 and says, I have come now to give you skill to understand. You're going to pray and fast this month, and God's going to give you an understanding of what's happening in your life. God's going to give you understanding what he's doing, where he's leading you, where he's taking you, how he's operating, what he's requiring of you. We, with all you're getting, get understanding, and it comes in the Spirit through prayer. So he prayed, and he saw God. He said, this is destiny time, and I need to pray so I don't miss it. And I need to pray. All through Daniel, it speaks about the appointed time. This phrase keeps being repeated because I understood. And he said, so I prayed because I know it's the appointed time. And what did God do when he prayed? When he prayed and he sought God and he fasted, God raised up Cyrus. And Cyrus went ahead because of Daniel's intercession, prayer, and fasting. And Cyrus did the impossible. He brought a whole nation out of deliverance. He brought a whole nation back to its destiny. And I believe it's now time for this nation. If we will pray and fast, God's going to bring a mighty deliverance in this nation. He's going to bring this nation into its prophetic destiny, and it will come through praying churches. And you say, what can prayer do? Cyrus wasn't even dreamed of until Daniel prayed. They're in captivity. They had no hope. There was nothing you could see on the horizon. But there was one man on his knees, and one man who had an understanding of what God was doing. And he prayed. And he prayed as led by the Spirit. God raised up a Cyrus. And all of a sudden, a king arose out of nowhere and came to these captives and said, I want to take you back. I want to release you. I want to rebuild your temple. I want to give you money. It was extraordinary. It was the greatest miracle. Cyrus is the greatest miracle in the history of the Scriptures. And it came because somebody understood. Season was about to change. God was about to perform his word. And he prayed and he fasted. God moved. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. So whatever the devil tries to put you in this year, like Peter, God is going to continue to deliver you. You're going to walk in ongoing deliverance. But also we're going to pray because the season is changing. We don't understand fully what God's doing, but we know that he's calling us. We know in the Spirit the thing's changing. And as we pray and fast and seek him, he'll give us a detailed understanding of what he's going to do in Australia in 2020. You know, some people say, I know some people say, why do we have to fast as well? Let me tell you, fasting is a type of prayer. When you fast your body, some people think it doesn't matter what you do with your body. It does. God said to Moses, you're fighting the Amalekites down there. Lift your hands. And he lifted. Some people won't lift their hands in prayer. You're mad. And he lifted his hands. And while his hands are in the air, the battle is won. When he put his hands down, the Amalekites start to win. It does matter what you do with your body. And when we use our body to fast and show, fasting shows God we're serious. When you fast your body, you feast on God. In the spirit, you feast on God. You get so close to God when you fast and deny your flesh. And when you fast, fasting's unusual. When you show God you're prepared to be unusual, he'll do unusual things for you. I just to finish, I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to just show you something. If you go to Matthew, God doesn't want you to be powerless. God doesn't want you. You know, some people, all the Bible is to them is a history book. God wants you to live with reality, and he wants his word to be powerful for you, and he wants you to experience victory. He wants you to walk in deliverance, but also be able to bring deliverance to other people. He wants you to be able to walk in his power. The disciples once could not deliver a boy. They couldn't pray and cast the devil out of a boy, even though Jesus had shown them how. And they said, how come you can do this and we can't? We can't bring deliverance. We got no victory out over the powers of darkness. We got no victory over the enemy. Jesus says, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by pray and fasting. You know, at the start of that passage, Jesus called them faithless and perverse. That means, like, perverse means perverted. It means you're not fit for purpose. You're spiritually dysfunctional. He said to them, you're actually perverse. And he said the problem with them was unbelief. They couldn't have victory over the enemy. They couldn't come into the victory and the increase. Because that's where God wants you. It doesn't mean you're not going to have battles, but he wants you to experience victory over every one of them. He wants your family to be living in victory. It's not like we're supposed to be like the rest of the world. We are a blessed people. We are overcomers. We're more than conquerors. But he said, you can't have any victory while you've got unbelief. And he says you need to believe, but you also need prayer and fasting. And the way it works is this. You can't believe. People have unbelief in their life because they're too worldly. They've got too much of the world in them. That's why you've got unbelief. You've got to be able to believe. You've got to just believe the word of God. You've got too many worldly things in you. But when you fast, it actually kills your appetite for the world. It actually mortifies your flesh. It brings you back into that place. See, unbelief makes you disconnected with God. But when you fast and pray, and you're disconnected because you're in the world. But when you fast and pray, it kills your desire for the world and restores your connection with God, because it's only through connection with God that you do believe. So when we're going to fast, we're going to pray so that your connection with the world is broken and your connection with God is strong, and it's from that position that you believe. You can speak to mountains, you can make them move. Only through connection. Only through connection. You can have the mantra all your life. If you're not connected, nothing works. It's not your word, it's his word that has the power. So we are going to enter a season of prayer and fasting in January. And I was so thrilled on New Year's Eve. So many people were here. I looked around, I think 2 years ago, I looked around, there was like a dozen or so people here for New Year's Eve. We prayed in. I think we had a big feast, and people come for the feast and they went home. So we said, no more feast anymore, just a little bit of tea and coffee, because we want people to pray. So people came.
I don't know, the church was half, three quarters full with people who prayed right till midnight. So that means the church is actually growing in its understanding. The most powerful thing you have is your prayer life. And a prayer Christian who is connected to heaven. Connected. Can penetrate heaven and release God's power into situations. Let me just finish by saying this. You know, I really believe this is going to be a season where you're going to know about angelic visitation. Angels, Jacob saw a vision and he saw angels go up the ladder and down the ladder. Why they go up the ladder? They go up the ladder where there's no prayer and faith. But when somebody is connected to God and somebody is believing God's word and somebody is connected to heaven and starts to speak out what they're hearing in heaven, angels come down that ladder and they carry out that word and they go and perform that healing and they go and open that door and they go and break that chain because somebody believes and got connected. I want to tell you, if you get this, I'm so excited I could pop this morning. I really could, because my favorite thing is to pray. It is just, if I had my choice, I wouldn't talk to anybody. My wife will tell you that. I'm a bit of an idiot. But because I know what comes through prayer. So this year, church, I want you to make an effort. You know, I know you can fast the TV or whatever, if that's a problem with you. That's good. But I encourage you, as your health is able, to deny your body food. Because there is such blessing. There is truly, when you fast food, your spirit feasts on God. I can't explain it fully. But Jesus said, when you pray and fast. He didn't say if. The reason the church is so miserable in Australia, the wider church, is because we relegate all this stuff into the intellect. Somebody said to me a little while ago, they said, I fast in my heart. I didn't even know what that means. But we've intellectualized everything so we don't have to raise our hands. I do it in my heart. Come on. Father, I want to thank you. You are so good and you are changing things. And Lord, people who walk in the Spirit, we know, we sense it, Lord, because you do. You tell your prophets ahead of time what you're about to do. And we know, as my sister prophesied this morning and spoke, that Lord, it is a new season. It's not more of the same. And you're an exciting God and you've got a destiny for this nation. And your ways are not our ways. And this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And we don't understand all these fires, but we know you're going to give us understanding, Lord, about what you're doing and what you require of your people in this time, to see a great harvest of souls in this nation, to see people come and turn to Christ, Lord. So Father, I just thank you. You're a God. You're a God who speaks. You're a God who speaks in dreams and visions. You're a God who visits your people in prison. You're a God who sends angels and visits us, Lord. You're a God who is powerful and releases that power to deliver us. So Father, we say to you, we want to be a people. Not an emotional people, not a fleshly people, but people of the Spirit who have an understanding of what you're doing, how to move with you into all the good plans you have for this nation in 2020. I thank you, Lord, that though we see all the fires, we know that you turn everything for the good of those who love you. And there is goodness coming out of it all to a praying church. So thank you. Thank you for that double portion that's coming to somebody this year. Thank you for the double doors that are opening for somebody this year. Thank you for the double blessing, the double honor that's coming to somebody this year. You're a wonderful God. As we seek you, Lord, I thank you that you will draw near to us. We'll know you more. In Jesus' name, all the people said,